Well, I'm going to preach on the gospel story today, but first I just want to make a shout out to that Old Testament story. Jacob and I were talking about it ahead of time, and it doesn't really seem to have much to offer. But that's because it's about Isaac. Isaac is like the middle child when it comes to the three, you know, patriarchs at the beginning, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Great stories about Abraham, great stories about Jacob, Isaac not so much. So anyway, this is his kind of one opportunity, and I feel a little bad. Maybe I should have said something about him because it's going to be another 3 years before we get a good Isaac story again. But there you have it. I'm not. Instead, I want to preach on the gospel. And I'm drawn to preach on the gospel in large part because of where we've been over the last several weeks. You know, I've been sharing with you some reflections about the Trinity, and so I have the Trinity very much in my mind. And today's gospel passage, particularly the second half of it, provides a kind of transition from this high reflection on the Trinity back to the very human and accessible Jesus. And what I hope to do is take you on a little bit of a trip back down to earth after these high reflections on the Trinity. So just to review, I preached three sermons on the Trinity. In the first, I compared our experience of being drawn up into the Trinity as kind of traveling up a five-story apartment building where we first encounter the human Jesus, and then the great teacher, son of man, son of God, more up until he becomes part of this mystery of the Trinity. And that was my first sermon, and then I got this reflection that, like, oh my gosh, that's so masculine, because I intentionally was very rigorous about using the traditional language so as not to further confuse issues. And so in the next sermon, I talked about how when we love somebody, we have many names for them very frequently. And the same thing is true with the Trinity, that while Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the sort of base, that there are other words. And I shared with you ones that I've been using recently that allow me to fold into my relationship with the Trinity some very often scripturally based feminine images. So Lady Wisdom and the hen brooding over her chicks. And those words were Source, Word, and the Holy Ghost being more personal to me than Spirit, which seems a little more diffuse. So I shared with you that. And then last week, I talked about how God revealed God's self to humanity through time, first revealing God as Source, Father, then God as Word, Jesus, and then finally the fullness of the Spirit in giving birth to the church. So all of these are these kind of high reflections up on the fifth story of that apartment building. So I invite us to imagine that we're up there again in those high reflections of the Trinity. And I want to read again the first, a few verses from the gospel that we just heard. And imagine that you're up on this high, you know, up in the fifth floor here, beautiful room, and you're hearing two persons of the Trinity talking to one another. Because the scripture says, at that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. I hope you heard that with that kind of Trinitarian idea in mind. These are equivalent divine figures talking to one another. We're being welcomed into the inner conversation of the Trinity in this moment. Now, this is a very peculiar little passage in Matthew. Biblical scholars call it a shot out of the Johannine blue. Because it sounds like you could have cut and pasted this and put it in the Gospel of John. Usually, it's only John that gets that sort of high up in talking about things. But notice what the topic of conversation is. It's, in a way, a relief to those of you who have been baffled by my reflections on the Trinity. Because Jesus is saying, actually, you know what? God, it's not the wise, it's not the intelligent, it's the infants. It's those who are simply open and vulnerable and know that they are needy. They are the ones that we are welcoming into our relationship here, O Father and O Holy Ghost, who I don't know where the Holy Ghost is at the moment in that conversation, but maybe just politely listening. I don't know. But we're invited to imagine that. Now, What's interesting about this passage is that it makes a very strong but plausible transition, I think, down to a much more human level. I picture an apartment that I stayed in in Paris. And in Paris, you know, the five-story apartment buildings were built before they'd mastered elevators. And so they had these sort of spiral staircases, which they later, like in the 1920s, inserted these elevators. So I imagine sort of getting off the fifth floor into one of these creaky old 1920s elevators that have the sliding like that. And now we're pushing the button and we're just going all the way back down to the ground, to the human level, to the teacher Jesus, to our master, to the one we're trying to follow, to the one who invites us to be in a human relationship with him, as I am with you and you are with one another. It's a human teaching relationship. And Jesus says these great words. Jesus, our teacher, the human being. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think it's that word infant in that first part of what we considered that gives this passage such power and resonance, that we are invited to go to Jesus as little children and embrace him and trust that he will help us carry our burdens, which sometimes can be so formidable. He is offering us something that I certainly cry out for myself, and from what I know of each of you, I think it's probably the same thing, that he offers us rest for our souls. Let us then, as we sit in silence this morning, sit and ask for and embrace silence and rest. I hope that your physical reaction to these words of Jesus is one of relief, that we have traveled together up into the heights, perhaps, of the Trinity. But now our Master is saying, come to me, come and take rest. Welcome into your home.